First, I have no financial or conflicts to disclose. Thank you for the opportunity to present the research that Wei Yang and I have been conducting. We have been looking at what is the measurement we should be using, the type of food outlet, the distance of our food outlet, density, to evaluate food environment and obesity. The public is exposed and to a variety of food environments. And in fact, there's an infatuation with man versus food now. So there's helpful and unhelpful food environments. And are they influencing our food patterns and our nutritional status such as obesity? Unfortunately, the research is conflicting and we still don't know the answer. There was two presentations yesterday by Dr. Fleming. Whoa, this is gonna help. Yes, Fleming Moran and Dr. Ford, that there was actually no significant association between food environment and a BMI. The most common theoretical model is the ecological in order to find the long-term outcome of obesity and other health parameters. Today I'll be just speaking on the community or the neighborhood environments and of that aspect of the model. So Dr. Yang and I have a research study on evaluating the obesogenic environment in Nevada. This is a statewide research study that looks at both the physical activity environment and the food environment. And both the actual and perceived, which is unique. We could not have done this without the support of our staff and funding from cooperative or the experimental station Hatch Grant and the Trust Fund for Public Health. So what is the obesogenic environment? If you haven't heard that term before, it's an environment that promotes gaining weight or is not conducive to losing weight. So the methods. We used a individual attributes from the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance Survey, and that includes our dependent outcome of BMI. Other, what did we describe for types? Using the North American Industry Classification System, that's how we define the classifications of our food outlets. And although we had a wide variety of different food outlets, we are going to focus today on supermarkets, grocery stores, convenience stores, and fast food. In order to find these different things, we used four different sources of information. We had state food business license, county level information, we purchased information, and we even had the phone book. And those were all cross-referenced. So I won't describe this in detail, but if you go up to the North American Industry Classification System and look exactly at the definition, you will find these codes and also the definitions for future studies. You can use that. What was density? It's the number of food outlets within a half mile, 1 mile, and 3 mile radius of their residence. Distance was the closest supermarket, convenience store, and fast food restaurant from their distance. And so we could geocode their individual and these community attributes in layers and have a geographical spatial analysis conducted. Okay. Thank you. So as I mentioned, we geocoded these different things and used the Haverstein formula. Again, we did descriptive analysis of weight variance and multi-logistic regression of models controlling for potential confounding factors were run. The Haverstein formula, just in case, it's a 2 points of a sphere, so we can identify the difference between these looking at longitude and latitude. And here's, of course, I want you to memorize this, but you can also go up to U.S. Census Bureau for more information. So let me describe the methods a little further because this was a randomized sample of Nevadans from a telephone survey Demographics were weighed, so they represent the whole state. So weighed process is expressed as the weight for each relative factor, and then they're multiplied together to get a weighed value. So multiply logistic regression was constructed and evaluated, and these are our results. The characteristics of our sample was we had just slightly over 2,000 people that we could geocode by their information. From the raw data, you can see that body weight was, for those of overweight and obese, was just slightly over the 2/3 of the national level. Here's a map that just indicates some of the where our respondents were, and of course there's gathering around the Reno area and the Las Vegas area. This is a slide that shows you the weighed prevalence of our demographics. I won't go into detail. Here's the weighted prevalence of our food outlets. So also here's a map that indicates different of our grocery stores, food markets, but it also has liquor stores. And you can see here, it's actually gathering right around our casinos in Reno. So in the results regarding distance. So in distance, at the half mile, 1 mile, and 3 miles, there was actually no significant association from adjusted. Well, I should probably say what we adjusted for. We adjusted for age, gender, race, education, income, employment, and marital status. Actually, it looks like there's a protective mechanism at the 3 mile if you had greater fast food restaurants at the 3 mile. But looking at that, look at the confidence interval. It's really 0.57 to 1.33. So we must take that into consideration. Now looking at density at the half mile, these are densities for fast food and convenience stores and supermarkets. We have at the half mile, 1 mile, there was no significant difference for odds ratio for being likelihood for being obese. But look at the 3 mile. Actually, if you have three or more supermarkets, grocery stores, you have a 50% less likelihood of being obese or overweight. Looking at the demographics, those who were older were more likely to be overweight. There was no significant difference by race or income, and gender, males, smokers, and diabetes also had significant difference. So the results of our study, the density of supermarkets at the 3 mile buffer zone was significant. But by type of food outlet, there really was no significant difference except for this one exception. Distance, there was no significant difference. Density at the fast food or convenience store, there was no significant difference. And those who were older, male, non-smokers or diabetic actually had a link to environmental and overweight obesity. And these results are similar for when we ran it for distance and density. So again, in conclusion, there's a weak, if not no association between food environment, regardless of the type of food environment you use, the distance, or the density, except for that one exception with the density of supermarkets at 3 miles. Oops. Just a couple comments. This was a large-scale, whole state Nevada research study. There's two major cities in Nevada and an expanse of rural area. We were able to use a very rich database, the Behavioral Risk Factor Surveillance System, very complex data analysis, reported height and weight. And then we looked at multiple different ways of food sources because Nevada was growing very rapidly. Of course, now it's not growing as rapidly. Here's the findings that we'd like to look at is maybe this could implement policymakers and shape more healthy communities. We actually have a community that's dedicated to mobilizing at the grassroots their effect in building a healthier environment. Our next step is we're doing a statistical modeling so we can actually help people in identifying the obesogenic risk of their communities or other states. So to address the issue, we've also found that they did a surveillance of people who lived in downtown Reno to see if they would like a supermarket or and then would they shop. So that's one thing that they're doing at the state, and maybe we should look at land use. We're still looking. We don't know a whole lot about food behavior purchase. There's actually research that shows that low-income people, even if they don't have a car, will group together and actually go shop at Costco, and so it's difficult to say where you shop. Is it next to your residence? But a lot of people might be shopping outside their residence. And so we need to look at that factors, and maybe there's other food outlets that we need to incorporate. That was the presentation.
We do have a couple of minutes for questions. Do you have questions for Dr. Spears?
Yes.
Yes, in the front.
Why did you pick radial distance instead of distance along streets?
As the crow flies. Because at this time, we've decided to look at that. We'd have to do a huge overlay, the difference that's happening out in our rural area. We didn't have enough information from some of the new roads that are out there, but we will actually, that would be a good point to do. Thank you. Good comment.
There was another question in the back.
Yes.
Well, I was just trying to reiterate, so you're saying you did not find an association to the environment and the adults obesity?
Yes. That is correct. We found none in adults and the likelihood, so it's an adjusted odds ratio, of the likelihood of being obese based on the food environment if you measure it by the type of food outlet, the distance, and the density. Correct.
And then I just wanted to hear a little bit more about your methodology.
Correct. That's a good question. We did actually two different validations studies. So one, we actually had it's about a random set of 18 different zip codes sent out undergraduates that were hired over the summer. They actually walked the streets of these randomized zip codes and identified every single physical activity parameter that was out there, open space, parks, recreational things, where it was, doing longitude and latitude, GIPS, and every attribute. And that was for all physical activities and food environments. And so we did a random sample to see if what we were getting was accurate. But then we also, to look at the definitions that we use for food outlets, we had someone who went out and we looked at different, the supermarket, the grocery store, the fast food. Is the definition we're using the one that we really want? So we did two validations.
Join me. That's the last question.